it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
Today is Tuesday, May the 14th. It is the feast of St. Matthias the Apostle. Beloved friends, we have inherited heaven along with the apostles. Let us give thanks to the Father for all his gifts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you, Lord, for the banquet of Christ's body and blood given us through the apostles, which refreshes us and gives us life. Praise be to you, Lord, for the feast of your word prepared for us by the apostles, giving us light and joy. Praise be to you, Lord, for your holy church founded on the apostles, where we are gathered together into your community. Praise be to you, Lord, for the cleansing power of baptism and penance that you have entrusted to your apostles, through which we are cleansed of our sins. Father, you called St. Matthias to share in the mission of the apostles. By the help of his prayers, may we receive with joy the love you share with us and be counted among those you have chosen. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming to you from the studios of Sacred Heart Catholic Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Anna Mitchell. Matt Swaim is off today. Paul Lockman at the controls for us. And we've got an excellent hour ahead. We'll kick things off this morning with Father Philip Michael Tangora, author of Holiness and Living the Sacramental Life. We're going to be talking about the Mass today as it pertains to our own spiritual journeys. You can find a lot of similarities there. Dr. Kevin Vost will begin talking about premises of sand, as he calls them, in our series on how to think like Aquinas. We'll talk about today's saint, St. Matthias, with Steve Ray from CatholicConvert.com. He's currently leading a pilgrimage in St. Matthias's home country of Israel. He's also going to be leading a pilgrimage to Poland soon that we'll get to hear about as well. And we'll wrap things up for the day. For the National Hour, anyway, with Father Frank Donio of the Catholic Apostolate Center. We've been talking about sacramentals, and today we're going to talk more specifically about blessings. Hope you can stick around and enjoy the entire hour ahead. Right now, it's 2 minutes past. It's time for news. The Mass of Christian burial for a priest and five of his parishioners has taken place after they were killed Sunday in a terrorist attack on their church in Burkina Faso during Mass. The Bishop of Kaya, Burkina Faso, told the Fides news agency that 34-year-old Father Simeon Yampa was a humble person, obedient and full of love, saying he loved his parishioners. Father Yampa would have celebrated his fifth anniversary as a priest this July. The funeral for him and the five parishioners who also died in the attack took place yesterday. The worst outbreak of violence since the deadly Easter bombings has Sri Lanka under a nationwide curfew. At least one man was killed in attacks on mosques and Muslim-owned businesses yesterday. The violence was sparked over the weekend when Christians viewed a social media post by a Muslim man as a threat. Sri Lanka's prime minister called for calm yesterday, saying the violence was interfering with the investigation of the Easter Sunday bombings. Previous curfews since the bombings had been limited to specific areas near the capital of Colombo. This one is nationwide. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is sharing details of Iran's behavior with European leaders. Brian Shook has more.
U.S. Special Representative for Iran, Brian Hook, told reporters that Pompeo wanted to explain the evidence behind his public statements accusing Iran of escalating tensions with the U.S. Hook said Iran should try to hold talks instead of making threats. Pompeo skipped a trip to Moscow to brief European leaders on Iran in Brussels Monday. He's scheduled to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Sochi, Russia, Tuesday. Brian Shook, NBC News Radio.
The White House says President Trump will meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping at next month's G20 summit in Japan. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have run aground, but Trump has insisted the U.S. is in a very strong position. Trump yesterday accused China of taking advantage of the U.S. for too long and insisted his tariffs on Chinese imports are working. But the ongoing trade war with China appears to be rattling Wall Street. Stocks dropped dramatically yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average ending the day down more than 600 points. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 also took hard hits. Investors sold stocks after news that China will retaliate for the U.S. increasing tariffs on Chinese goods. China is going to sanction $60 billion of U.S. goods with tariffs between 5 and 25%. The deadly March attacks on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, are the subject of an inquiry that got underway yesterday. Mark Mayfield reports.
New Zealand's Royal Commission will be taking a close look at the accused gunman's online activities, international connections, and the government's counterterrorism resources. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says the commission's findings will help to ensure such an attack never happens here again. A final report on the live-streamed attacks by a lone gunman that left 51 people dead is expected by mid-December. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Attorney General Bill Barr is assigning a U.S. attorney to look into the origins of the Russia investigation. Barr has named Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham to lead the probe that will examine how the investigation's initial intelligence was gathered. Durham has led public corruption investigations under both Republican and Democratic administrations. And former President Jimmy Carter is recovering from surgery after falling at his home in Plains, Georgia. A statement from the Carter Center says the 94-year-old former president broke his hip while leaving to go turkey hunting. The statement says the surgery was successful. Carter is at a hospital in Georgia, and his wife, Rosalind, is with him, praying for a speedy recovery for the former president. Today is Tuesday, May the 14th. It is the feast of St. Matthias the Apostle. We will talk a lot more about that first apostolic successor coming up a little later this hour with Steve Ray. Right now, though, it's 7 minutes past the hour. Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Philip Michael Tangora. We've been going through his book, Holiness and Living the Sacramental Life. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Anna and everybody.
So we're going to start going through Holy Mass more closely in our upcoming discussions together. And, well, it's been a while since we talked about your boy, Pseudo-Dionysius, specifically, and the sort of like method that he uses to understand the work of God in the church. So can you start us off today giving us a quick refresher on this, because it'll help with our upcoming discussions?
Sure. So with Pseudo-Dionysius, the main thing that we have to remember is that it's a threefold spiritual system, all right, which is also actually he got from Origen. So there's the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. So purification, illumination. Purification is obviously a moral reality. It's the healing of the soul. It's the healing from sin. It's and then there's illumination, which is an intellectual reality, knowing God, because after all, we can only love that which we know. Nobody loves Martian food because they don't know what it is. But what we know, we can love. So the more that we know through the illuminative way, the more we're capable of loving God. And then from this purgative and this unitive, we're capable of and the illuminative, we can then arrive at the unitive, the way of perfection, where heart, mind, body, and soul are in harmony with God. And this is all affected through a twofold reality of the exitus, which is the outpouring of God's love, his truth, his grace, his light. He reveals himself to us through the exitus. That's God revealing himself, communicating himself to the world, to humanity in particular. And then we make a pilgrimage of return, a reditus, a return to God. And we go through this purgative, illuminative, and unitive process, threefold spiritual process, so that we can return toward perfect unity with God.
And what's really cool about that is that we can see this taking place in miniature, I guess you would say, every single Mass that we attend. And so in the Mass overall, there are four parts which coincide with each of these stages of our spiritual journey as Christians. So I want to go through each of them individually. So we've got the opening parts of the Mass. What part of the spiritual journey does that represent?
Well, the very opening part is the initiative of God's grace. So before we can even get into the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive, we have to have the fact that God begins everything. He is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. And so it begins with the initiative of God's grace to call us to Him, to call us and invite us to discipleship. So, believe it or not, the beginning of the Mass, the entrance hymn, when the priest enters, that signifies and begins in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and does and greets us all with love and fellowship with the greeting at the beginning of Mass. That is God's grace coming out to us, calling to us, and inviting us into this spiritual process to engage in the purgative, illuminative, and unitive spiritual ways.
And then immediately following that, we have the penitential rite. So what does that correspond with in the spiritual journey?
This is the purgative way. So the priest transitions us into that penitential act by raising our awareness for the need for purification in our lives. And he's going to ask us to examine our conscience. This is a moment for us to then allow ourselves to present our sins and our failures to the Lord. And we say then the confiteor, which is our asking for mercy and forgiveness for our sins. The priest then offers a minor absolution of our sins, our venial sins. Our more grave sins, our mortal sins, still have to be confessed and can only be healed through the sacrament of reconciliation, of penance. But our venial sins, those things that we do day to day that are not good, are forgiven. And then we are then capable of expressing our dependency upon the mercy of God when we all say the Kyrie. And the Kyrie is Trinitarian. The first Kyrie eleison petitions God the Father. The Christe eleison petitions Jesus Christ. And the last Kyrie eleison petitions the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity, to bring us healing, to bring us healing from sin.
And then we move into the liturgy of the Word. Tell us about that.
So the liturgy of the Word is where the illuminative way begins. All right, so we have the Old Testament, we have the Psalm, the New Testament, the Gospel, but then we also have the homily and the creed. So what we have here is we have the proclamation of the Word of God, then the preaching and the teaching about the Word of God. So the preaching helps us to understand it, and the teaching helps us to incorporate the Word of God as a lived reality in our lives and how to live it authentically, how to be true disciples. And then we profess. So proclaim, preach, and profess. We profess with our mind, our heart, our body, our whole soul. That's why we stand during the creed. That's why when it says, when we come to the moment of the incarnation, we genuflect at certain times of the year in the ordinary form or always in the extraordinary form. It's a full body praise of professing our faith. That our whole person professes that faith to say, yes, I truly embrace the reality of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the descent of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and sanctify us as a church.
So you're saying when we get to that part where it talks about how he was born of the Virgin Mary, that we should bow profoundly and not be embarrassed about it?
And go right ahead. Go right ahead. You know, and in the extraordinary form, you actually genuflect at that moment.
Which is
everybody.
Awesome.
And it's the kind of thing that our whole body is brought into worship. You know, Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, in his Spirit of the Liturgy, talks about full body praise.
I definitely want to get to the liturgy of the Eucharist and our reception of Holy Communion, and that represents the unitive.
And that is exactly the unitive way. That is when we are united in this most perfect way with God, with our salvation, that we receive a foretaste of the world and glory of heaven to come. And it is the unitive experience that Mass provides us, the mimetic envy. We need to remain focused on our ultimate life goals and nourishes our desire to persevere, maintaining that unity with God throughout the day, week, month, and year.
All right. Incredible stuff there from Father Philip Michael Tangora. Thank you so much, Father. The book is called Holiness and Living the Sacramental Life, and you can find it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Let's take a look at weather across the nation. The Northeast and Lower Great Lakes are in for some showers. They shouldn't be torrential, but may have a wintry mix for upstate New York and eastern Maine today. Warmer weather on the East Coast will be found in the southern mid-Atlantic and southeast. A few showers and storms will linger in the morning to midday, but as the day progresses, the middle and lower Mississippi Valley to the mid-Atlantic and southeast will become dry, thankfully. As for the Rockies, the Southwest, and the Great Plains, warm weather and mostly pleasant weather is in store for them. Showers and storms will make an appearance in the evening hours as a weak low front travels over the northern plains, and the Pacific Northwest to the South Central Great Basin will see rain showers and storms as a cold front cools temperatures dramatically in those areas. It's 16 past now on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're back with headlines right after this. Stick around.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. SolidarityHealthShare.org. Everywhere the Comboni missionaries serve, from Sudan to Ecuador, they work with people of all ages and in all walks of life. But regardless of where they're working, there's a need to help students get to school. Education offers children a ladder out of poverty and a path to a promising future. Your donation funds scholarships, school supplies, and textbooks for needy students in Guatemala, Uganda, and more. More information about empowerment through education at ComboniMissionaries.org. That's ComboniMissionaries.org.
Easter is a 50-day season, and what better way to celebrate every single morning than with a cup or two or three of the Mystic Monk's Pascha Java or Easter Sunrise Blend coffee.
And of course, when you link to Mystic Monk Coffee through SunriseMorningShow.com, they give us a commission for sending you to their site.
And how perfect would it be to drink Easter Sunrise Coffee in a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug? They're just $10 in our online store.
Celebrate all 50 mornings of Easter with special coffee in a special mug. Link to the Mystic Monks and purchase the mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses.
The Catechism is very clear in Numbers 1033, 1035, and 1037 that it takes only one mortal sin to have one go to hell by their own doing. God sends no one to hell.
Open Line with Father Wade Meneses, Tuesday afternoon, 3 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
It's 18 past now on the Sunrise Morning Show. Let's take a look at headlines. A priest and five of his parishioners who were killed in a terrorist attack on their church in Burkina Faso on Sunday have been remembered at their massive Christian burial. The worst outbreak of violence since the deadly Easter bombings in Sri Lanka has the country under a nationwide curfew. And President Trump says he will meet with President of China Xi Jinping at next month's G20 summit in Japan. You can hear full newscast coming up in about 11 minutes from now at the bottom of the hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Just a reminder that the EWTN Publishing Book of the Month is a new book that they've just put out, a lovely little copy called What is Heaven, written by Mother Angelica. And I finally got my copy in the mail. So I thought I would read a little excerpt here since I don't have Matt to discuss it. You're just going to have to listen to me read. She writes here, a lot of people are afraid to go to heaven because they're ashamed of their actions And they're afraid that everybody up there is going to know exactly what they did wrong. But we can't think that way. Every time we go to confession, the Lord forgives and forgets. Everybody has a skeleton in a closet. Do you think heaven is a place where God parades around everybody's skeletons? That's not the God we all know and love. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Mother Angelica quoting Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. She says it's very important to understand that everything we do, even the sins we commit, God will bring up for our good. Just a little excerpt from the book What is Heaven by Mother Angelica, which is the book of the month from EWTN Publishing. You can find it at EWTNRC.com, EWTN's religious catalog. Dr. Kevin Bost up next. It's 20.
Now that the warmer months are upon us, perhaps you're in the market for gardening tools, yard supplies, or maybe even looking ahead for your summer reading choices.
No matter what you're in the market to buy, if you are planning on making a purchase at Amazon, don't forget to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so, without spending an extra cent, you're earning us a commission on your purchase price, which helps support our work on the Sunrise Morning Show.
Again, no matter what you plan to buy, don't forget, go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
I'm Father Timothy Scheer, and these are Biblical Impressions. The Apostle Paul met a special couple on his first visit to Corinth. Their names were Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Already, by the time Paul met them, they had been tested for their beliefs. They were among a number of people, probably members of one synagogue in Rome, forced to leave that city by order of Claudius the emperor because of some disturbance. The Apostle Paul may have been the one who nourished their yearning for the truth and bring them to baptism. Aquila and Priscilla must have had some resources, because they had a house in their new location in Corinth and invited Paul to stay with them. Like Paul, they too worked with leather and were tent makers. But this couple had spiritual resources too. They took it upon themselves, for example, to instruct others who were less knowledgeable about the faith. They even opened their house to the church for prayer. And later, when they finally returned to Rome, they opened their house to the church there. This energetic couple serves as a model of faith for any generation of Christians. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Scheer.
It's 23 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are happy to have you with us. Joining us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. Kevin Bost to continue our series on his book, How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. Dr. Bost, welcome back.
Good morning, Anna.
You know, we've spent a few segments together discussing common logical fallacies that we should be able to recognize in others' arguments and then also to avoid ourselves when trying to argue a point. And today we're going to be moving on to discussing a series of what you call premises of sand. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, by that I mean now we're moving to look at 20, and there are more, but a representative 20 isms out there, false ideologies that are kind of based upon faulty reasoning, logical fallacies of various sorts, but different worldviews that are very common now and that are, you know, go contrary to the faith, contrary to our flourishing, and that are very contrary to thinking like Aquinas, whose goal was obtaining truth.
So just to be clear here, what is the difference between a fallacy and a worldview, a wrong worldview?
Yeah, a fallacy can just be just a faulty use of logic itself regarding the subject matter. These worldviews are kind of more like fundamental premises, saying, you know, we can know this, we can't know this,
this is what, what life should be aimed at. So they're kind of more fundamental and overarching. These are the kind of ideologies that will change your whole way of seeing the universe if you hold one or more of these. As we'll see as we get into, flesh out the examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get to these examples, and we're not going to go, rapid fire through them. We'll spend a little bit of time on each one of these since they are worldviews. Let's start with agnosticism. What is the foundational point of agnosticism?
Sure. It comes from, the two Greek words, a prefix a, which means without, and then gnosis, which means knowledge. So agnosticism claims, that we can't really know whether there is a God or not. It's said now in recent polls in America, about 3% of people will identify themselves as agnostic. And for some of these people, holding it in a stronger form, they'll say, we simply can't know whether God is there or not. We can't know whether we should believe the Bible or not. Other people might call themselves agnostics, implying, well, I don't necessarily know if God can be known or not, but I don't know it. And maybe that person really hasn't even investigated it. But this idea, though, that we can't know for sure if God is there, is growing in our world today. And Thomas Aquinas really directly attacks this idea. In fact, he's famous for his five proofs for the existence of God. Mm-hmm. And these are based on what's called a posteriori reasoning, or just they're based on things we can see with our own eyes, simple facts of the world, like that things move or change, there are causes and effects, that things exist for a certain time and then they no longer exist. Starting with things like this, Thomas uses chains of reasoning to show that there must be a God. There must be an unchanging source of all change. There must be an uncaused cause. There must be a being who exists for all time. So part of the very premise of Thomas's proofs is to counter agnosticism and show that, yes, we are, even through just the use of our reason, able to prove that God exists. And I will say, too, we find this in the Scripture, too. For example, Romans 1:20, St. Paul says, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So it's Romans 1:20 from St. Paul. So he says we can start this. We can observe the world, use our God-given powers of reason, and deduce the fact that God has to be out there. And the Church itself teaches this in the Vatican Council number 1, that we can know with certainty, by the light of natural human reason alone, that there is one true God, the Creator.
Certainly makes sense to me, Dr. Vost, I have to admit. Now, let's talk about atheism. What is the difference between someone who is agnostic and someone who is an atheist?
Yeah, someone who is an agnostic, you ask them to be, do you believe in God? They say, I don't know. And they may decide whether it's even knowable or not. It might differ in that. But the atheist says, basically, I know there is no God. These are people, and it's estimated about 4% of our population now call themselves atheists, and it's also been growing, in recent times. But these are people who think, they can prove that God does not exist. And I will say this is out there. I was in their camp for about 25 years. And just to give you one example, some of the more thoughtful atheists will give arguments saying why belief in God is irrational or unreal. And just one simple example, one you'll often encounter is they'll say that God cannot be all-knowing and all-powerful. Because if he knows what he's going to do tomorrow, then he doesn't have the power to do anything different. So they try to set up dilemmas like this. And it wasn't after I first came across that powerful argument, it wasn't until 25 years later when I read St. Thomas Aquinas talking about God's eternity that I realized the fallacy of this argument itself. It's as if we're considering God as a larger human being. We have yesterdays, todays, and tomorrow, but God lives forever fulfilled in eternity. So Thomas says with a simple analogy. He says that he who goes along the road does not see all who come after him, whereas he who sees the whole road from a height sees all at once traveling by the way. So God has this eternal perspective.
Aquinas had a big effect on your reversion back into belief in God and into Catholicism, correct?
Yeah, he sure did. It was, through the stirrings of the Holy Spirit and reading St. Thomas Aquinas for the first time that I abandoned my atheism, which I never thought I would. I was an atheist for 25 years. A few days after I started reading St. Thomas, I was back to Christ in the Church.
A few days? Seriously?
Yes. The process went along longer. Different readings and arguments leading me to Thomas. But once I grasped him firsthand, it did not take long at all.
Wow, that's incredible, Dr. Vost. I love it. Well, then it makes sense why you would have a book called How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. We've got it linked at sonrisemorningshow.com in the show notes. And Dr. Vost, if listeners want to connect with you, how do they do so?
My website is drvost.com, just drvost.com.
All right, Dr. Vost, we're really glad you picked up Aquinas those many years ago.
Well, thank you so much. God bless.
Very happy to have you on the show today. All right, it's half past the hour now. It's time for news. A priest and five of his parishioners who were killed in a terrorist attack on their church in Burkina Faso on Sunday have been remembered at their mass of Christian burial. The Fides News Agency reports that the funeral for 34-year-old Father Simeon Yampa and his five parishioners took place yesterday. The Bishop of Kaya, Burkina Faso, told Fides News Agency, quote, Father Simeon Yampa was a humble person, obedient and full of love. He loved his parishioners, end quote. Father Yampa would have celebrated the fifth anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood this coming July. The worst outbreak of violence since the deadly Easter bombings has Sri Lanka under a nationwide curfew. At least one man was killed in attacks on mosques and Muslim-owned businesses yesterday. The violence was sparked over the weekend when Christians viewed a social media post by a Muslim man as a threat. Sri Lanka's prime minister called for calm yesterday, saying the violence was interfering with the investigation of the Easter Sunday bombings. Previous curfews have, since the bombings, were limited to specific areas near the capital of Colombo. Funeral services will be held this week for a Westchester County, New York woman killed in the Easter Sunday church bombings in Sri Lanka. Scott Pringle reports.
Chelsea DiCaminata had been overseas on assignment for the Department of Commerce. She was critically injured in the April Easter attacks, and the John Jay High School graduate died earlier this month from her injuries. A wake now set for Wednesday at Clark Associates Funeral Home in Gatona, followed by a funeral Thursday at St. Joseph's Roman Catholic Church in Somers. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Barr issued a statement saying Chelsea devoted her life to public service and that her dedication and spirit were a model for everyone at the department. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
Hundreds this weekend remembered those killed in the Easter Sunday church bombings in Sri Lanka. The Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, celebrated Mass in Staten Island on Sunday night at St. Adalbert's Church. Dolan called for an end to violence and persecution of Christians everywhere. President Trump says he will meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping at next month's G20 summit in Japan. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have run aground, but Trump insisted that the U.S. is in a very strong position. During a White House photo op, he again accused China of taking advantage of the U.S. for too long and insisted his tariffs on Chinese imports are working. He also said American farmers and manufacturers will be very happy with the results of the trade negotiations. But stocks fell on Wall Street as China retaliated with its own set of tariff hikes on U.S. goods. Chinese officials say they are expected to set tariffs between 5 and 25% on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods starting on June 1st. At the closing bell yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 617 points. The S&P was down 70 points. The NASDAQ lost 270 points. The White House is reportedly reviewing military plans against Iran. More from Mark Mayfield.
The New York Times reports that the top U.S. defense official presented an updated military plan to the Trump administration. The plan reportedly includes sending upwards of 120,000 troops to the Middle East if Iran attacks American forces or increases its work on nuclear weapons. The Times reported that the unnamed administration officials said that Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan presented the plan to top security aides on Thursday. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that iPhone users can sue Apple for alleged monopolization. Plaintiffs argued that Apple's monopoly over the company's app store has led to inflated app prices across the board. The ruling allows a class action lawsuit to move forward. Concerns of the measles are continuing to grow as the CDC now estimates nearly 840 cases across 23 states. In the past week, there have been 75 new cases reported. New York is seeing the highest number of cases among the 23 affected states, with more than 270 patients confirmed so far. That's the news. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show. It's now 35 minutes past the hour.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
Easter is a 50-day season, and what better way to celebrate every single morning than with a cup or two or three of the Mystic Monk's Pasca Java or Easter Sunrise Blend coffee.
And of course, when you link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com, they give us a commission for sending you to their site.
And how perfect would it be to drink Easter Sunrise Coffee in a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug? They're just $10 in our online store.
Celebrate all 50 mornings of Easter with special coffee in a special mug. Link to the Mystic Monks and purchase the mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
What does the church say about premarital sex? Because unmarried couples living together has become so widespread, it is no longer seen by many as being morally wrong. Yet nothing has changed in the teachings of the church. In plain language, having sexual relations outside of marriage is unacceptable and a serious violation of God's law. Many couples assume that since they plan to marry soon, living together is a good idea for various reasons. These people overlook what God intends as the purpose of sexual relations. Quite simply, that purpose is to bring about joy and happiness for a married couple, and at the same time to always permit the possible conception of a child. To do otherwise is a violation of God's plan and a rejection of the dignity of marriage and the dignity of each other. For more information, contact your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 2366 through 2369. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It's 37 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. With us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Steve Ray. He's online at CatholicConvert.com. He leads pilgrimages all over the world, including one to Poland pretty soon, and is joining us from a pilgrimage in Israel right now. Steve, good morning, or good afternoon, I suppose.
It's a good afternoon. Greetings from Jericho.
Awesome.
We just read the gospel passages down here about Jesus healing the blind man Bartimaeus while we're on the very road that he was on, and we just drove past a sycamore tree. And I read the story of Zacchaeus, the little short tax collector who it's kind of like a squirrel up in the tree, and Jesus said, come on down. So we're in Jericho today. We were in Jerusalem this morning for Mass, where we read about St. Matthias, who took the place of Judas. And so we're kind of living all of that right now here. I've got 50 good, excited folks on the bus, and we're having a great time here in Jericho today.
Very glad to hear it. Of course, May 14th, the Feast of St. Matthias, who is a unique apostle because, as you say, he replaced Judas in the wake of his suicide after he betrayed Jesus, and unique because he was chosen by the apostles and not by Jesus to be an apostle. Why do some Christians believe it was a mistake to elect Matthias?
Well, that's an interesting thing. So it's oftentimes some of the fundamentalist Protestants who hold to this position, because we know that Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. And some of them say that the casting of lots was not a biblical thing. It's not what they should have done. They jumped the gun. They didn't wait for the Lord to let them know, because the Lord had already chosen the next apostle to fill his place, which should have been Paul the apostle. However, that's not the case. And casting of lots, by the way, was a very biblical thing. That is how the people of Israel often did it. They cast lots. And they would, in Proverbs 16, it says that lot is cast into the lap. It's like dice kind of thing. But they would use stones or pieces of wood or something. But it said that the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is from the Lord. and the priests had these lots that they would cast to make decisions. So it was a very biblical understanding that you would cast the lots when an important decision would be made, and you trusted the Lord to give you the proper outcome. So, but the fundamentalists often say that, oh, no, they jumped the gun. It's something very unspiritual casting.
That's so interesting.
It should have been the Apostle Paul.
But don't you think, would you agree, the Holy Spirit did approve of the choice of St. Matthias?
There for a minute.
Oh, I think we, Steve, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, I think we can be assured, don't you think, that the Holy Spirit approved of the choice of St. Matthias?
Yes, because after the choice, it says that Paul stood up with the 11, which meant that Matthias was included in Scripture. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Peter was speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit at that point, and it says that Peter stood up and spoke with the 11, meaning with Peter that made 12. So that says that Matthias was accepted by the Holy Spirit as number 12. So I think the fundamentalist Protestants have it pretty wrong.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, let's talk about the ministry of St. Matthias. What do we know about what he did after being elected an apostle toward the end of his life?
Well, a lot of these apostles, you know, they stuck around Jerusalem and Judea for a while. I think that sometimes it was the persecution that actually got them going out. But we, from what we know, that for more than 30 years of preaching in the Judea area, which is where I'm at right now, by the way, that he went up north into the areas of Cappadocia and over to Egypt and Ethiopia. And so, you know, there's never been, for some of these, a real good record of where they were. But they said that he was always teaching the mortification of the flesh in regard to sensual desires. I mean, that's something that our country could listen to today, isn't it?
Yes.
That the flesh and your own desires are not the things that you should follow. Those things will often lead you into sin and astray. The very thing that we should be more concerned about is the life of the Spirit. Paul tells us that in the book of Galatians over and over again. And Matthias was always teaching to put down the deeds of the flesh, the things that would lead you into sin, and mortify that. It means put it to death. Paul uses that exact same phraseology as well. And don't follow the sensual and these other desires, but rather seek the Lord. So that was one of the main things he talked about. And so he went up north and over to Cappadocia and so on. That's up in Turkey of today. So these guys really did go out into unusual territory. Imagine you're a Jew and you've been living in Israel your whole life, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, go out into all these strange other countries, learn their languages, and so on. And that's what Matthias did.
How did St. Matthias die?
Well, the tradition is that he was stoned to death by the Black Sea in 80 AD. That's a horrible way to die, to be stoned to death. I mean, it's just... incomprehensible what it would be like to have a bunch of people throwing big rocks at you until you're dead. But he was stoned to death, and it was near the Black Sea around 80 AD. And some of his relics are in the church in Germany in Trier, and others in St. Mary's Church in Rome, St. Mary Major.
One of the major basilicas in Rome. Now, you told me that the name Matthias, I wouldn't have known this if you hadn't told me, Steve, means gift from God. How do you see Matthias as a gift from God?
Well, he was obviously a good man from the beginning because he was the requirement to be an apostle, to fill the place of Judas who hanged himself, is that he had to be with Jesus from the very beginning, from his baptism to his resurrection. So we never hear of Matthias up until this point. But there was another man as well, and Matthias was the one who was chosen. And he had to have the requirements of having been with Jesus and seen all the miracles that he did. And so this guy was, even though he wasn't acknowledged for it at the time, he was a follower of Jesus. He had been there through the whole life of Jesus. Now, that's not easy to do, Annie, because Jesus, like we're driving along a road right now. It's 100 miles from Jerusalem down here to Jericho. I mean, from up in the Galilee area down here to where we are in the Jordan River. We're going to go down right now, actually. We're just 5 minutes away from the tip of the Dead Sea where we're all going to renew our baptismal vows in the Jordan River, right, where Jesus was baptized. But this guy must have been following Jesus and done an incredible amount of walking. It's 104 degrees here today, by the way.
Yikes.
To be a follower of Jesus for those 3 years, you had to be a pretty tough guy to do all of that walking and all of this heat. And so we know he was, and if he's chosen by the Holy Spirit to be the replacement as one of the 12, he had to be a man of very righteous life and of good character.
Absolutely. We've been talking to Steve Ray. And Steve, we've got a minute here. So I wanted to give you an opportunity. I know you're in Israel right now, but you're looking forward to a pilgrimage, I believe, what, in August to Poland? Is that right?
Yes, we're going to Poland, and we invite people to come along with us. We're going to be going with Al Kresta, too. A lot of people know him from Catholic Radio, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN. And we're going to be following what we call the modern saints. John Paul II, we're going to cover every part of his life, where he was born, where he celebrated his first Mass, all of these places and the relics and the museum that's been built for him. And you feel really close to John Paul II when we get into Poland. And then we're also going to be following Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy. We're going to actually pray with her sisters, the Divine Mercy, at her convent. And one of the sisters that was there, is there, is going to address our folks and answer questions about the Divine Mercy and about Maria Faustina. So we're going to spend a day there. Also, Maximilian Kolbe, who is, here we are using modern technology on the radio, he was one of the grandfathers of the beginning of Catholic media like this. He started radio stations and publishing, and it was in Poland, and it was part of his work that made it possible for the people of Poland to survive through the Nazi era and the Soviet Union era because of Maximilian Kolbe. And then we're going to visit the cell in Auschwitz. We're going to visit there as well and see where he died, gave his life in exchange for a man with a family, and he starved to death there and then.
Known as a martyr of charity. And of course, my girl, Edith Stein, Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, another saint who died at Auschwitz, and I'm sure you'll be remembering her as well. I think we may have lost Steve. Oh, no. Well, if you are interested in going on pilgrimage with Steve Ray, he told me he still has some spots open for this pilgrimage to Poland in August. So visit CatholicConvert.com, and you can click on the top banner to take you over to more information about his pilgrimages. Again, his pilgrimage to Poland taking place this August. So thank you so much, Steve Ray. Of course, when he's in Israel, you can imagine sometimes cell phone coverage might not always be the best. But really appreciate him taking the time to join us today on the Sunrise Morning Show. Up next, Father Frank Donio. It's 13 till.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Have you heard about Lord Teach Me to Pray? Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Training retreats will be held this summer and fall in various parts of the country. Go to lordteachmetopray.com to find a training retreat near you. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative.
Go to lordteachmetopray.com and click on Facilitator Training Retreats.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN,
teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic Radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business, and so he's working by himself, and he listens to Catholic Radio, and he's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Frank Donio from the Catholic Apostolate Center. Father Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Anna.
So we're going to begin a series together now talking about sacramentals we have in the Catholic Church. So first of all, Father, let's just lay the groundwork. What are they? How are they different from the sacraments?
Christ instituted the sacraments. The Church instituted sacramentals. I think that's the easiest way of understanding it, and it goes back, that way of defining, we've seen in the Baltimore Catechism, but it's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church as well. And 1667 says, Holy Mother Church has, moreover, instituted sacramentals. These are sacred signs which bear resemblance to the sacraments. I think that's something, and that actually is a quote from the document Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is on divine worship from the Second Vatican Council. So this is something that has been a part of our life. So what are we talking about? We're talking about blessings first and foremost, blessings of people, of objects, of places. We're talking about people who have been consecrated or dedicated. Now, we're not talking about ordination, bishop, priest, deacon, but we're talking about, for example, the consecration of a religious, or we're talking about of a place, like a shrine, and then things like exorcisms. They're considered sacramentals, relics, various things, and many people, when they think sacramentals, they often think of rosaries and medals and statues and different devotional objects that are blessed. When they're blessed, then they become, they're considered a sacramental. This is an extension of the sacrament in the sense of that it leads us, it's meant to lead us to the sacrament. It's not an end in itself.
You know, I love that line that you read. These are sacred signs which bear a resemblance to the sacraments. Can you give us an example of how that would be?
Well, I think holy water is a prime example of that. When we bless ourselves with holy water, what are we doing? We're reminding ourselves of our baptism. That's what we do. We walk into a church, we put our finger there, we make the sign of the cross. Well, what was done when we were baptized? We were, you know, I baptize you, the priest or the deacon or maybe the bishop or possibly the pope, depending on who baptized the person. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit while pouring water. That's how baptism is done. So every time we bless ourselves with holy water, that is meant to connect us back to the sacrament of baptism.
Yeah, the fact that we were baptized into his death and remembering that by signing the cross on ourselves rather than just, you know, like splashing ourselves with holy water, right?
Yes, and I think that's where we have to, the thing that sometimes people get a little nervous about, especially with devotional items and sacramentals and so forth, that, oh, well, are we headed into superstition? And sometimes we've been beat up as Catholics around that, but the Church has always remained steadfast in understanding that, in its understanding that no, these things, particularly things that do come from the people, what's called popular piety, that there needs to be openness to that, and because these devotions of the faithful are not meant to be looked down upon, and I think sometimes there are those who have done that. Instead, if we always remain aware that this is meant to always connect us back, sacramentals are meant to connect us back to the sacraments, ultimately to Christ, who instituted the sacraments. It's helping us to be prepared more to receive that grace, that we receive in the sacraments.
Absolutely, and we should not judge them based on those who misuse them as if a superstition. Now, Father, if sacramentals are not necessary for our salvation, and they are not, we don't need them to get to heaven, then why would the church bother to offer them to us, and why should we as the faithful bother to use them at all?
Well, they're meant as a preparation. In number 1677 of the Catechism, it says, they prepare men to receive the fruit of the sacraments and sanctify different circumstances of life. So it's part of sanctifying our day, just like in prayer with the Liturgy of the Hours, and not everybody is able to do that. But how do we sanctify our day? How do we remind ourselves of God's presence throughout our day? Is it that a holy card? Is it the medal that we might wear? Is it the rosary that we're saying? Is it the receiving of a blessing? Or, you know, lay people can give blessings in certain ways, but bless another person. There's also the blessing of a priest or a deacon, a bishop. But these things that are closer to the, that lead us and prepare us to receive the sanctifying grace of the sacrament.
We've been talking to Father Frank Donio. We're going to begin a series talking about various sacramentals that are available to us in the Catholic Church. And Father Frank, if listeners want to connect with you and check out your resources, remind us where to go.
Just go to CatholicApostolateCenter.org.
And you can find CatholicApostolateCenter.org linked at SunriseMorningShow.com. I'd like to end with a quick little reflection on today's Feast of St. Matthias. This is the meditation in the Magnificat today from Pope Emeritus Benedict, talking about the negative role that Judas played as the betrayer, but then the faithfulness of Matthias, who replaced him, almost compensating for his betrayal. He says, "We draw from this a final lesson. While there is no lack of an unworthy and traitorous Christians in the church, it is up to each of us to counterbalance the evil done by them with our clear witness to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." A little challenge for you today. That'll do it for this national edition of the Sunrise Morning Show. Two more hours for our locals and those of you listening via the Sunrise Morning Show app. For Paul Lockman, I'm Anna Mitchell. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.